How do you do? Some people say that all roads lead to God, but the man in this story knows otherwise. In his search, he tried a number of roads that were either dead ends or dropped off into nothingness. Some looked promising, but led to a place without hope. He might have perished there except for the intervention of the very one he was seeking and found when his heart and mind and life were unshackled. Bringing light into the darkness with true life stories, this is Unshackled, dramatized and produced in Chicago by Pacific Garden Mission. Times change, and so do people. That's how many end up on the streets. Their jobs disappear along with their homes and their families. They come to Pacific Garden Mission looking for a place to stay and find a place to start anew. Mission counselors and pastors share the good news that God loves them and has a wonderful plan for their lives. And thanks to the generosity of friends, the Old Lighthouse offers refuge for more than 500 homeless people a night, more during the cold winter months, giving them food, clean clothing and shelter, even medical and dental care. But most of all, they find new life from the one who never changes. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And now for broadcast around the earth, here's program number 2557 in the series Unshackled, the program that makes you face yourself and think.
I don't know, Bob. Do you think he's all right?
Well, he just needs to wind down after all those exams.
I'm not so sure. I think there's something else going on.
Phyllis, you've forgotten what it's like to be in college? The stress of finals, the letdown afterward?
I know my son, and he's not himself. For one thing, all those phone calls he made from school almost every day.
Yeah, he is a little moody. You could be right.
What was that?
Mark, are you all right? It's locked.
Mark, open the door.
Stand back. I'll break it down.
Oh, no!
Phyllis. Call the ambulance. I'll try to stop the bleeding.
The man in our story was only 22 years old and finishing college. He had a loving family and should have had a bright future ahead, and yet he pulled the plug on his life. Why? This is the story of what led him to the brink of death and who led him back to life. It's the true story of Mark Robinson right now on Unshackled.
My upbringing was probably not much different from the average American Jew in a middle-class family with loving parents. We lived in South Florida. I had a twin brother and a younger brother and sister. Although we didn't attend synagogue often, and I didn't have a bar mitzvah, we celebrated Passover with a Seder and a reading from the Haggadah.
And the Lord spoke unto Moses face to face, as a man speaks to his friend. And they will tell it to the inhabitants of this land, for they have heard that thou, Lord, art among this people, that thou, Lord, art seen face to face. Let us remember this Passover, the Lord's goodness in our lives.
You decided where you're going to college, Mark?
I'm still thinking about it, Jeff.
Remember, Mark, a good education is the key to success in life.
Well, it sure is the key to avoiding the draft.
Anything but Vietnam.
Whatever you do, do it well. Your future depends on it.
God was only mentioned twice a year in our family, at Passover and Yom Kippur, celebrated with a few half-hearted prayers and even less explanation. Education was stressed more than religion, so Judaism was not important to me as I went off to college. My twin brother, Jeff, was going to school about 100 miles away from me. One night he called.
I found truth and understanding, Mark.
Fantastic. What is it?
I can't tell you what it is in so many words.
Jeff, if you found it, you must be able to tell me.
Truth has to be experienced, not communicated. If you search for it long enough, far enough, and wide enough, you'll find it.
Oh, it sounds like a treasure hunt.
It's called Zen Buddhism.
Oh, I've heard of that. Is it a religion or a philosophy?
Neither. It's discovering self as part of the whole. There's a book you can read that'll help you, written by a former Harvard psychiatrist. I'll give you the title and author.
Okay. I'd like to know more about it. I read the book my brother suggested, then devoured other books on Eastern religion. And so, after one semester of honors work, I began pursuing my interest in metaphysics, and my classes became a burden. The following summer, my brother and I went to a rock concert, where I explored a new spiritual dimension.
Say, Mark, you want a hit?
Wait, what is it?
Marijuana. Haven't you tried it yet?
No.
Go ahead. Inhale and hold. Like this.
I've been curious about pot. I guess now I'm going to find out.
You'll like it, Mark. Expand your mind. You see everything in a new way.
Oh, cool.
Did you read that book I suggested?
Yeah. Now I'm into transcendental meditation.
The universe is too big to be contained in one religion, you know?
You know, I keep wondering why I'm here. What's my purpose?
And in the end, what does it matter? Mark, my boy, you need to reach the state of nirvana.
I think I just did. Isn't it just this side of Georgia? Drugs gave me the illusion that my awareness was expanding, that I was delving deeper into spiritual truth. In reality, the opposite was happening, but I couldn't see it then. With my long hair and hippie look, my parents may have suspected my drug use, but they never said anything. My brother, of course, knew.
Another year, another Passover.
I still remember the big family dinners in New York at Grandmother's home. Remember?
Yeah, I like family gatherings. Those days are gone, though, except for the holidays.
What's the point of it all, anyway?
Good question, Mark. Have you tried mescaline?
Yeah, a few times. Tried cocaine once. That was enough.
I have some good Colombian if you want a hit.
I think we should get high for the Seder meal.
Why not? So, how do you like your new living arrangements at college?
It's a little creepy. A couple of witches live in the house in front of me. One of them told me all kinds of things about my past.
Makes you wonder, doesn't it?
You ever wonder what happens when you die? All the vain philosophies led nowhere. Like Solomon of old, I began to think all was vanity. Everything seemed so pointless, so futile. The drugs muddied my thinking and brought on depression. I never injected drugs, but I began to deal them, and they consumed me, leaving an empty shell. My depression deepened. There seemed to be no purpose at all to life. So after finals were over, I went home. But going home didn't help. I was caught in a whirlpool of despair, and one night I locked myself in the bathroom and slit both wrists, again and again. My parents heard me fall, broke down the door, and called an ambulance.
I'm sorry, but we're still unable to bring your son out of the coma.
Doctor, is there nothing else that you can do? 2 weeks? 2 weeks is a long time.
Mr. Robinson, it's a miracle he's even alive. He's lost an enormous amount of blood.
If only the ambulance hadn't taken so long to get there.
When the body suffers that kind of shock, we're concerned about necrosis throughout the body. The organs just shut down. In your son's case, there's the added shock to his psyche. He didn't want to live.
There must be some way to bring him out of that coma.
Well, after trying a number of different drugs, the only thing left to try is electroshock therapy.
Go to do whatever you have to, Doctor. Please, bring him back.
Mark, can you hear me? It's Dad.
His eyes are open. Thank God he's coming out of it.
You're in the hospital, son. Your mother is left here with me.
Electroshock therapy will leave him confused for a while. He probably won't remember why he's here.
Oh, that's good.
You're going to be all right, son. Just rest.
I was in the hospital 6 weeks recuperating. When I was told that I should have died, that there was no reason for me to have lived, I knew there was only one answer. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob was real, and he had spared my life. Believing in a living God was medicine to my soul. Even so, my depression lingered, in spite of therapy with one of the best psychiatrists in Southern Florida.
You're looking much better, Mark.
I see.
Oh, part of me wants to live, and part of me wonders why.
Your friend Doug called and wanted to know how you're doing. He heard you were in the hospital.
Well, what did you tell him?
That you accidentally overdosed on drugs.
Well, why not tell him the truth?
Honey, some people don't understand. I mean, why invite more questions and judgment?
I don't agree. If I hide from the truth, how will I ever know why it happened?
You tell them if you want. I won't.
So how's the group therapy coming?
It's a waste. I can't relate to other people's problems.
Well, the doctor thinks you can be released soon and you can continue therapy on an outpatient basis.
Well, that's more than he said to me. You know, he hardly says a word.
Well, that's how they do things, I guess.
Well, what's wrong with giving encouragement and hope? I want to know the truth. I want to know. Will I ever get better?
Of course you will.
I don't think I'm crazy.
No, you're not. You're not crazy, son.
I just want some answers. But all the doctor ever says is, well, you know, we're working on these things.
Be patient, Mark.
How do I know I won't try suicide again?
We'll learn the answer to that question in just a moment. Want to know more about our work here at Pacific Garden Mission? We offer two easy ways to learn as much as you want to know. Write for our free ministry resource catalog or visit our website at www.unshackled.org. The resource catalog lists stories broadcast on Unshackled since we began in 1950, and you can order any of them on cassette. Many are available on CD as well. And you can also order Unshackled books, booklets, comic books, and videos. With this catalog in hand, you can order a variety of testimonies to help you reach others for Christ. Our website is another way to get materials for evangelism or edification, or to learn more about our various ministries. Browse as long as you like, drop us a line of encouragement, or even request prayer for some need. Learn about the history of the old lighthouse, or listen to a complete Unshackled broadcast online. It's all there and more, waiting for you to visit. www.unshackled.org. To order your free copy of the resource catalog or to learn more about our various ministries, write to Pacific Garden Mission, Chicago, Illinois 60605. Our email address is unshackled@pgm.org, and please include your address.
The old question still raged inside me. But I did have a kind of peace knowing God was out there and that He wanted me to live. I would often pray for Him to show me what to do. A year passed before I became more comfortable relating to people. Psychiatry didn't help. Neither did prayer. Yes, I believed in God now, but my prayers didn't seem to reach Him. Or if they did, He didn't answer. I continued to use drugs, but had cut down on my use from before the suicide attempt. Once I graduated from college, I decided to travel around the country to see if I could learn more about God. I visited my old friend Doug in California.
You want your drink refreshed, Mark?
Sure. Thanks.
So, how's it going on your trip across the country?
Okay. I picked up a couple of hitchhikers in Louisiana.
Huh?
Sisters.
Ooh.
Yeah, they rode with me all the way to New Mexico.
Someone to talk to, anyway.
They were into Eastern religion.
Huh.
I was, too, at one time, but not anymore.
I've never been religious.
I believe in the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob now. I wouldn't be here if it weren't for him.
Yeah, I saw you examine that book on the table. What do you think of it?
Well, it looks interesting. Is something about prophecy?
Yeah, I haven't read it yet, but my friend said it's a bestseller, all about the end times.
Well, the back cover claims Old Testament prophets predicted the rebirth of Israel in one day.
Which happened.
Yeah, but I don't agree with something else the author says here.
Hmm?
He quotes a verse in Micah that the Messiah is to be born in Bethlehem, making Jesus the Jewish Messiah.
Hey, I know my Christmas carols. That's where he was born, all right.
Yeah, well, he might be the Messiah of the Gentiles, but he's not for the Jews. Mm-hmm. Back in Florida, I worked in the retail business and continued my search for God. I couldn't understand why my prayers seemed to hit the ceiling and go no further. I didn't know the promise of Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 13. And ye shall seek me and find me, when ye shall search for me with all your heart. I became an ardent supporter of Israel, proud of my heritage. In 1973, the Yom Kippur War broke out.
Oh, the news isn't good right now.
I know. I called the Israeli consulate today and tried to volunteer to fight, but they told me they had more requests than they could handle.
Well, don't get carried away, Mark.
Well, you have to fight for what you believe is right, Mom.
They have plenty of young people over there to fight their wars.
Mom, do you believe in God?
No. God is not important to me.
Well, I believe the God of Israel spared my life. But why? And how do you get to know him?
I don't know.
Moses knew him face to face. Why don't we have that kind of personal relationship?
Well, that was then, Mark.
No, it has to be possible. I mean, there has to be a way to know God. Maybe if I read the Bible. Would you get one for me?
Well, sure, we'll get one for you as a gift. Just be careful you don't get carried away with all that stuff.
I wanted so much to understand the Bible they gave me, and I read and read, but God still seemed distant. So I continued my search for him in Scientology. 5 nights a week for 6 months, I went to class until finally, one night I asked about God and their beliefs. The teacher said, don't worry about it. God is in a shoebox. Well, the God I believed in created the universe. No shoebox could hold him. Another dead end. I started my own seafood business and was moderately successful, taking my mind off God for a while.
So, how goes the seafood business?
Good, but the crawfish season is almost over, so I'll have to expand into other lines or I'll shut down for the season.
Oh, before I forget, the Irvings sent you a book to read.
What for?
Well, they're concerned about your involvement in Scientology.
Oh, don't worry, that's over.
Well, they became Christians, you know, fanatics. Ah, here it is.
Fantastic. You know, my friends in California have this book, and I've been wanting to read it.
What's it about?
Oh, Bible prophecy fulfilled in history.
Did you ever read that Bible we gave you?
Oh, I tried. It's incomprehensible. I gave up when I got to all those begats.
I think most people feel that way about the Bible.
Oh, maybe this book will help me understand. I read the entire book, which made a persuasive case for Jesus being the Messiah of Israel, something I just couldn't accept as a Jew. And yet, I couldn't ignore the scriptures that testified of him. I had to learn more, so I started listening to preachers on television and radio, and faith in Yeshua began to stir in my heart.
Sin is what separates us from God. He is holy, and we cannot approach him covered with sin and guilt. That's why the Israelites made a blood sacrifice, to atone for their sins, because the Bible says without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. Speaking through the prophet Ezekiel, God said, "Behold, all souls are mine. As the soul of the Father, so also the soul of the Son is mine. The soul that sinneth, it shall die." We all sin. Therefore, we are all spiritually dead. Can a dead man approach God? No. Your only hope is Christ, the Lamb of God, that takes away the sins of the world. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, "For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." My friend, the instant you put your faith in the shed blood of Christ who died in your place, you are born again, made spiritually alive in him. And God forgives you and receives you as one of his own.
Suddenly, I realized that my problem was sin. And as I knelt next to my bed that June morning in 1976, my heart was broken before God because of my sin. As I wept in repentance, I received Yeshua as my Messiah and Savior. My prayer was simple. Lord, I need you. From that moment, my life changed radically. I knew my prayers were getting through. The joy I felt was so exhilarating, I had to tell my brother. I went to Arkansas, where he lived as a potter on a communal farm.
A Christian?
Jeff, being a Christian doesn't change who I am. I'm still a Jew.
Why would you do this?
Well, it's like I've been in a desert all my life and finally found water. I can't get enough of it. I read the Bible 6 or 7 hours a day now. Before, I didn't understand anything, and now I do. And you know why? Because now I know the author. I know the Lord.
You sound like a nut, Mark.
I'm not. You remember the Passover Seder? How we heard that Moses knew God face to face? Well, it's true. You can know God face to face if you know Christ.
This is the last thing I expected from you.
Oh, wait a minute. You mean Zen Buddhism is okay, but Jesus is not? He was Jewish, and he changed my life. Isn't that what matters? I have peace for the first time ever because I know my sins are forgiven.
Don't you think there's a reason other Jews don't believe in him?
Yes, they just don't know the truth. How can you believe in something if you don't know the truth about it?
This is just another one of your crazy ideas, Mark. You'll get over it.
No, Jeff. God has changed me. I poured all my alcohol down the sink and flushed my drugs down the toilet. I don't need stuff like that. I have everything in the Lord.
Don't try to change me, okay? I found a way that suits me.
I just want to tell you one more thing, and it's important. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. I thought I was the only Jew in the world who believed in Jesus. And as I drove back home, I cried out to God, Lord, my people need to know. I'll do anything and go anywhere you want me to. I'll even go to Africa, but my greatest desire is to share the gospel with my Jewish people. And that included my parents.
Oh, Mark, you can't be serious.
I am, Mom. I love Yeshua. Knowing him is the greatest thing that ever happened to me.
This will pass, just like all the other phases you went through.
Not a chance.
Well, I hope you're not planning to go off somewhere and be a missionary.
Well, I'd like to share the gospel with others so they can know the truth, especially Jewish people.
And what about your business?
I don't know if I'll open it again or not. I feel called to serve the Lord.
Mark, maybe you've forgotten, but in college, you tried to emulate Jesus Christ and his high ethics. You said it wasn't possible, that people took advantage of you.
I remember that, Mom. But I wasn't born again then. You can't live like Jesus without the Spirit of God in you. And that's what's different now. I discovered there were many other Jewish believers when I went to a Christian bookstore and learned about a ministry to Jewish people. Was I excited? I visited their ministry assuming that they would want me to go to work for them. They let me volunteer without pay for a year before I went on staff. That same year, I went to visit my friend Doug, now living in Louisiana.
How interesting, Mark. My wife recently became a Christian.
Oh, the Lord is so awesome, Doug. You won't believe the way he's working in my life, the way he answers prayers.
For example?
Well, I wanted to share the Lord with other Jews because I thought I was the only one who believed in him. Right away, he made me aware of ministries and missionaries to Jews. I've been working with one in South Florida.
So what happened to your business?
I just walked away from it. All I want to do now is serve the Lord.
How did your parents take all this?
They thought it would pass. When it didn't, they decided I'm not Jewish anymore. Oh, I'm still their son, they say. But I'm just not Jewish.
Huh.
You know, I've never been more Jewish in my life.
Mark, the change in you is just incredible. What made you believe?
The prophecy about the Messiah in the Old Testament convinced me that Jesus is the Messiah. I recognize my sin against a holy God. There is no way to erase the guilt of something that's done except through Christ. I saw that he offered himself as a sacrifice to set us free.
Mark, you won't believe
this.
What is it?
I was thinking about what happened to you while I was driving home, how much your life has changed, and I asked the Lord to come into my life the way he came into yours.
Oh, that's fantastic, Doug.
Well, you're right. What an incredible experience. I actually feel different.
Well, I would hope so. The God of the universe now dwells in you.
Wow. I can't wait to tell my wife.
Oh, wait till you start reading the Bible.
Hey, maybe you could help me with that.
Teaching God's Word from the streets of Miami to the boardwalk of Atlantic City has become the joy of my life. God has planted me in a ministry to Jews where I can witness to and disciple my people. He has also given me a wife and daughter who are treasures to me. We live and work in California now, where I am a Western States director of our ministry. Once I had doubt, anxiety, lack of peace and purpose in my life, but not anymore. Not since I accepted Yeshua as my Messiah. What a Savior.
And what about you, friend? Is he your Savior? Jesus came to set you free from whatever has you bound. He has a wonderful plan for your life, too. Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11 says, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end." To pass from death to life, all you have to do is recognize your sin. Realize that Christ died for you and invite him into your heart and life. Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10 promise that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. If you need help in this life-changing decision, you're invited to get in touch with Pacific Garden Mission, Chicago, Illinois, 60605. The telephone number in Chicago, area 312-922-1462. Our email address is unshackled@pgm.org. The best way to keep hearing these joyous testimonies of God's grace is to ask the manager of this station to keep broadcasting them. And spread the good news by telling your friends when and where to listen to the next Unshackled. This is program number 2557. Heard in the true story of Mark Robinson were Tom Chapa, Nancy Baird, Guy Baril, Kim Rasmussen, Rick Plastina, and Herb Graham. Original music, Ralph Colburn, sound, Nick Aloisio. Script by Kenitha Gabler, and I'm Bob O'Donnell. Unshackled is produced by Pacific Garden Mission to show through true stories that if your life is empty, it can be filled to overflowing. Hearing from you is the highlight of our day, so please write to just say thanks for Unshackled. The address, Pacific Garden Mission, Chicago, Illinois, 60605. Whatever the problem, you may call Pacific Garden Mission in Chicago and talk with someone who cares. 312-922-1462. Someone is waiting for your call. 312-922-1462.